Morning. Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's on page 905 of the Pew Bible. I'm reading from the NIV version. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Youngsters can go to youngster place.
I want you to keep your Bibles open to that passage because this is where we're going to begin. Now, several weeks back, I was at the church office and I was told, I said I was going to preach several Christmas messages, and I said I'll give you the titles and some of the ideas, and then of course, Lee and I get together and we try to work out the music. And so I remember at one point I came in and I said, "Well, here's the message for this particular Sunday." And Sue looked at it and she said, "The first Christmas rush." I said, "Yeah. You don't know about that?" And then I read this to her. "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. There's the first Christmas rush. The shepherds on their way to see the Christ child. Well, that is the first Christmas rush. I want to speak to you today about the first Christmas rush, but I want to focus our attention a little bit on the shepherds. I've preached on the wise men and various personages from the Christmas text, but I'd like for us to take a closer look at the shepherds. And here is my first thought. The first birth announcement was made to shepherds, which doesn't sound very profound. But let me share with you, it is a little surprising that the first announcement went to shepherds. You say, "Well, okay, why?" If you were to study through history, you would see that in some societies, in fact, a lot of societies through the centuries, shepherds were looked down upon. They were not respected people in the community. In some cases, they were despised. And yes, in some countries, at certain times in history, shepherds had their legal rights taken away, which meant this. And I almost quoted this right out of an encyclopedia, but it said, "Some places took their civil rights away, not allowing them to be witnesses in courts of law because people did not feel that they could be trusted." Now that puts a whole different perspective on this passage And the fact that they get the first announcement and they're part of the first Christmas rush. When were shepherds mentioned in the Bible for the very first time? Most of us would not remember. Let's begin at Genesis chapter 46. Would you turn there, please? Genesis chapter 46. Verse 31. In Genesis 46:31, it says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, 'I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds.'" There's the first time it's mentioned. "For their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' you shall say, 'Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" I bet you never saw that passage before. Very interesting. The Egyptians despised shepherds because the presence of sheep and goats meant death to their crops. By the way, the battle between shepherds and farmers is as old as Cain and Abel. Abel kept flocks. Cain worked the soil. Genesis 4:2. So the first murder actually happened because of the resentment involving those who were shepherds, if you will. And by the way, the sheep were not accepted by the Egyptian people as sacrifices to any of their gods, plural. They worshipped many gods. What was the primary god that the Egyptians worshipped? They worshipped the calf. Remember how involved God's people got with that? They worshipped the young bull. Can't stand sheep. It would never use them and offer them to one of their gods. And by the way, just as a footnote, I mean, all this for me sheds a whole lot of light on the biography of Moses. God sends him, quote, to the backside of the desert to keep the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And then he sends a shepherd to go speak to Pharaoh. How do you think Moses felt coming to Pharaoh, knowing how Pharaoh felt about what he did for a living? So the first birth announcement of Christ came to shepherds, surprisingly enough. Second, these shepherds became witnesses for the Lord. Now would you turn to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. And this is the passage that we have just read. Let me start at verse 8 once again, because I want to pause and point out some things along the way. Luke 2:8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Stop right there. Easy for us to read through these Christmas passages and not think about the whole totality of Scripture. The glory of the Lord suddenly lit up, one translation says, lit up the landscape with the glory of God. In his book entitled Words and Works of Jesus Christ, Dwight Pentecost, a former professor at Dallas Seminary, said this. This was the glory that had appeared to Abraham while he dwelt in the Ur of the Chaldees, because Acts 7:1 says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. This is the same glory that appeared in the tabernacle. Because Exodus 40 says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter in because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle. This was the glory. Stay with me. This was the glory that Ezekiel later saw depart from the temple. Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 23 says, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, Jerusalem, and stood upon the Mount of Olives on the east side of the city, and the glory departed. This glory does not return until Luke chapter 2, verse 9. So for more than 500 years, the nation of Israel has been without the visible sign of God's presence among the people. Now the glory for which Israel had waited was revealed. Not to priests at the temple, but to shepherds in the field. And the response of the shepherds? They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because no doubt they may have remembered God's word to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. There shall no man see me and live. They were terrified at this unexpected revelation of the glory of God. But the stillness of that night was dissipated by the angelic announcement, do not be afraid. See that in verse 10? So the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel had not come as an angel of death. Remember that? He came as a messenger of the good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people in the world. And one way or another, the whole world recognizes the birth of Christ. In fact, I wrote a check this week, and I put a date on it from the birth of Christ. How interesting. So I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, lying in a manger. One of the signs to the shepherds would be the attire of the baby. Such a baby would normally have been wrapped in luxurious garments. But God's messenger said, no. This is how you'll find him. It'll be a surprise to you, but he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he'll be lying in a feed trough for animals. That's pretty much what the word is. And so, these shepherds were the first ones to receive the announcement. They became witnesses to others. They first of all heard the message. Now watch. They go searching for him. Notice, if you will, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found, you want me to give you an amplification of that word as God gave it? They found after a search Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I emphasize that because it wasn't necessarily easy for them to find where he was, but they found him. They searched for him. I'm not sure I know every single person in here. Did you come to church today searching? At this Christmas season, are you searching for God? I would think we should be. If there's any time of the year that people ought to be thinking about who they are and who God is and how do I get to God and where am I going to go when I die, it ought to be Christmas time. They searched. Keep searching. Live up to the revelation that you've been given. And then do what they did. They confirmed it with the scriptures. So they searched. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They spread the message. They received the message. They searched. They found him. And then they decided, let's go tell others. They became witnesses for Christ. You mean these despised people became some of the first witnesses for Jesus Christ? What was the response of some of the people? All those who heard it marveled. I always felt that word needed at least a little more careful look. As best I can articulate it to you, the people that they told expressed astonishment. A baby in a manger. The Messiah, not born. If he's a king, why wouldn't he be born in the palace? You found him in a feed trough. And the shepherds had a good testimony to the people of what they had experienced. They told the people what happened and how they found him, just exactly as God had said. And when I got to this part about people listening to what the shepherds said about who this is and what did the people do with it, some were surprised. I suppose some received him, some followed, some didn't. That's the way it happens. And I thought to myself, you know, most of us are familiar with the wise men from the Far East. Do you remember? Who found the Savior? Question. Do you remember the wise men from the Middle East who missed the Savior? They're in the account. Turn to Matthew 2. Matthew 2. In Matthew 2, we read, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Oh, yeah, I remember them. Those are the wise men who found him. "When Herod the king heard this," he wasn't happy. He was troubled. It's a threat to his throne. "Oh, and all Jerusalem with him." Really? So what did he do? "When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.'" Let me stop right here. Did you notice who he went to? The chief priests and the scribes. I wish I could give you a whole study on this, but I'll try to capsulize it. From the chief priests, there was a group of people that developed their own community. They were called Sadducees, but they were priests. The Bible says the Sadducees did not believe in the existence of angels or in the resurrection, meaning they also did not believe that there was an eternal soul. By the way, it is easy for us to think that these chief priests and these religious leaders back in these days were very spiritual people, the most spiritual. Not true. I'm not saying every one of them, but I'm saying as a group, they were not necessarily these spiritual people. But that's who Herod went to, thinking that they ought to know something about the Bible. By the way, about these chief priests, at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi 2 says, the priests had departed from the way and become corrupt. I'm quoting. And so they were not necessarily the most spiritual people. The best way I can describe the chief priests in that day in a generic way is to tell you that they were rationalists. I mean, if they didn't believe in angels and they didn't believe in a resurrection or that man had a soul and that this is basically all there is, that's religion for this life. That's what I would call a rationalist. They were religious, but you didn't need to talk to them about their soul getting saved and their sins being forgiven, or they will go to a place called hell. They didn't believe in all that. And then there's the scribes. He went to the chief priests and the scribes. They are referred to in some passages as the lawyers. They were the ones who were responsible to see to it that the scriptures were copied. Sometimes they copied them themselves. Scribe, look at the word. Scribe. Script. You see it? Once again, Dwight Pentecost says, the scribes served as the ultimate authorities in questions of faith and practice. So he went to the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests were rationalists. The scribes were legalists. I can tell you two good ways to miss finding a relationship to Jesus Christ. Be a rationalist. You say, well, I would never be a rationalist. I mean, I believe in the soul. Or be a legalist. Oh. Now, that one I dealt with in church. And I've had my fill of legalists. If the chief priests were the rationalists, the scribes were the legalists or the ritualists. A legalist? All he's concerned about is rules. Did you ever meet somebody like that in church? That's all they talk about. Well, we have a rule around here. For crying out loud, we have a rule. You know what rules do? I've said this through the years. Rules rule out people. That's what they do. I didn't say we don't have standards. I didn't say we don't have practices. But there's a big... We don't write a rule for everything. We don't run... The church doesn't run on rules. It runs on the Word of God and trusting the Holy Spirit in any given situation to give us wisdom to know what to do. I think some people write rules so they don't have to think. There's just a rule for it. But it rules out people, usually. So... Herod went to the ones who were the liberals. They were the rationalists. And he went to the legalists. And I submit to you, liberals will explain away the facts. Legalists have all the facts in their head, but not their heart. By the way, do you remember what Jesus said about those who were the scribes? I quote, Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. What he just said was, many of those who were the scribes who copied the scriptures weren't going to heaven when they died. All of this to say, oh, these are pretty wise people. I mean, they are the lawyers and they are the chief priests. These are the wise men from the Middle East. And you know what they did? They said, oh, this is what they... According to our scriptures, Jesus is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea because it's written in the prophet, back in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, but out of you shall a ruler come forth who will shepherd my people Israel." They got the right answer. They knew the answer. There is not one indication that they believed it. And they certainly didn't go searching for him. And these are the wise men who missed the Savior. You say, well, it's easy to talk about these. You say, well, I'm not a chief priest and I'm not a legalist. Really? Do you know what I found when it comes to Christmas? And I've already been places, I've heard people singing. I don't know everybody's spiritual condition. But you know what I've... on television, computer, wherever... oh, you know, you hear these songs. They play the songs, these Christian songs in the mall. They play them everywhere you go. You hear Christian music. And the majority of the people are singing them, but they don't believe it. In fact, there's some great truth in those songs. And they sing them, but if you stop them and said... to you, well, no, it's part of the culture. It's just, oh. And I say to myself, oh, so you're one of the rationalists. It's all about life here, right? Whatever you can get here. Not about eternity. I mean, I hear people singing this song. Hark, the herald angels sing. Listen to a couple of these verses. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. That's from John 1:1. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. That's Isaiah 7:14. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, the world is singing. Well, that's from Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And then it says, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. That's out of Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Because it says, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, referring to the Messiah, Christ. And in this song, it talks about Christ is born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He's born to give them the world a singing second birth. That's John 3:3. I want to walk over it. I wish I could do it in the kind, but I know what would happen. Have you been born again? Yeah, right. They'll sing it. But some of them are wise people who are missing the Savior. Okay. We're going to sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. All right? Because we know it. We believe it. I mean, we're committed to it. We understand it. So I think you should be able to sing this song, sing it out, and mean it from your heart. Listen to the words that we're singing as we sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Okay, Gary.